Happy last episode before Abigail's wedding.
So, we're doing great. We're doing excellent.
I'm fine.
Yeah, whatever. I'm fine too. Everything's good. I got my bridal portrait previews back today.
Oh, and they're incredible.
I'm so excited. I only have seen three of them, and it was so weird because, like, taking them, there aren't a lot of mirrors there. And
right.
So it was just like, well, I guess I look good.
What do I look like?
I have no idea.
Yeah. You look so hot in that first one.
Bro.
That you sent.
Tess sent it to me and was like, you are a hot bride. And I was like, who is she?
I was like, can Austin fight? I almost said that in the group chat, but I didn't. I was like, this could be perceived. I don't know. I'm not going to say that in a group of 10 girls. I'll just say it privately to Abigail. And now on this podcast.
I think I would have screamed. So, of course, in honor of my impending nuptials, we had to read a wedding book.
Yeah, so we decided on Do You Take This Man by Denise Williams. I am an admirer of Denise Williams. You are new to Denise, correct?
This is my first Denise.
Nice. And we were chatting about this a little bit before, but this is part of an extended universe series with a bunch of side characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read all of those and you have not.
Yeah, so when I say something stupid about it, keep that in mind, everybody.
I would assume most people have also not read the entire Denise Williams universe, but I think that perhaps might change how we interpret the book a little bit.
I think so too. So that's a good disclaimer to have up front.
Yeah. For me, Denise Williams is one of those authors that I will always automatically request on NetGalley or buy or whatever. I'm always going to read it. Like, very rarely are they my favorite books that I've read, but it's just like always solid, good vibes.
Kind of like a Christina Lauren.
Yeah.
They're always fun.
Yeah. I will always read it. Even the less good ones are still good.
Yeah.
Like, it's never a fail for me.
Okay.
Although I will say I did DNF the first book in this series because it was about a professor and it was around the time I started working in this job and I just could not do it.
You know what? That's fair. Not Denise's fault, though.
Yeah. So that's a me problem, not a Denise problem. And I might revisit it.
Yes.
Good now that I know this about myself.
Fair. Fair. Yeah.
Anyway.
So we read
Do You Take This Man?
Should we read the blurb?
Yeah.
So here's the blurb for Do You Take This Man by Denise Williams. Divorce attorney RJ would never describe herself as romantic, but when she ends up officiating an unplanned wedding for a newly engaged couple in a park, her life is turned upside down. The video of the ceremony goes viral, and she finds herself in the unlikely position of being a sought-after local wedding officiant. Which is kind of funny to read because, like, are there sought-after wedding officiants?
Maybe if they're as good as RJ, she seems like she fucking kills it.
Yeah, we just hired a friend. Hired. We're not paying him. He gets a meal.
Yeah, I just made my cousin do it.
Yeah. Spending her free time overseeing I do's isn't her most strategic career move, but she enjoys it, except for the type A dude bro wedding planner she's forced to work with. Former pro football event manager Lear is a people person, but after his longtime girlfriend betrayed him, he isn't looking for love. He knows how to execute events and likes being in control, so working with an opinionated and inflexible officiant who can't stand him is not high on his list. He's never had trouble winning people over, but RJ seems immune to his charms. Surrounded by love at every turn, their physical attraction pulls them together despite their best efforts to stay at an arm's length apart. Lear refuses to get hurt again. RJ refuses to let herself be vulnerable to anyone. But when it comes to happily ever after, their clients might not be the only ones saying, I do.
Ooh. Okay.
So.
I gotta say, right off the bat, it took me so long in this book to even like this man.
Ooh, this is...
And even then, I was like, fine.
I know. So, they have a literal run-in.
Yeah, they run into each other, like, on the street.
And Lear, like, helps her up, and...
RJ's cranky about it.
And he tells her to smile more.
And I was like, Denise, if you want us to like him, this is not going to work.
I did gasp a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, this does not belong in a woman-focused book.
Yeah. I was literally right then. I was like, Denise is going to do a lot of work here. to bring this around for me.
Yeah.
And she did do a lot of work, and eventually I got there, but it was a very hard won fight.
It was tough, man. Yeah. It was tough. Really off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, so RJ is kind of in the middle of like a career, I'm not going to call it a crisis, but she's like, she's a divorce lawyer, and her boss does not like that she started doing this wedding officiating thing because it's like taking away from her ability to work 80 hours a week or whatever.
Yeah, I never really understood why they didn't like it all that much.
I think it's just because she was busy with it.
I guess.
But... and because, like, I don't know, at least in all the books we read, the lawyers are expected to be working 24/7.
That's why we aren't lawyers.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, that's why. Speak for yourself.
That's the reason. I am good at arguing. But I also cry every time I get angry.
Katie's on the stand crying. Yeah. Your Honor. Have you seen those guys on TikTok who dress up as lawyers and they're just like, Your Honor, no cap. I love those guys. They're so stupid. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so Lear's deal is that he's filling in for his cousin? Cousin?
I think so.
His cousin who owns a wedding planning business.
And she's in the process of adopting a baby.
Yep.
And so she had to go to Texas. Yep. Texas
to,
shout out.
To get the baby.
Yeah.
To get the baby. The baby had been born and then she went to get it.
She and her wife went.
Yes. So Lear is basically taking over more or less for all these weddings that his cousin, whose name is gone.
Penny.
Penny, thank you. This is your job, is remembering the names. I have never remembered a single name in a book.
Never met a name.
Yeah. So then they're both at this wedding rehearsal, and they're like, oh, you're the person that I beef with on the street.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah. And basically, the only guidance given, like Penny has given Lear, is let RJ do whatever she wants for like the ceremony. Like, she's the officiant, she's in charge, mm-hmm. and she knows what she's doing. And Lear does the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, this also did not help Lear in my mind.
Yeah, whatsoever. He's like a giant dick and is like second guessing her in front of the couple and like overriding her decisions. It's gross.
Yeah. Tough stuff, man. So they keep running into each other at, you know, the weddings.
Yeah, they happen to be, you know, assigned or booked at the same weddings.
Yes. It also turns out Lear is somehow related to Gretchen's boss?
RJ's boss, Gretchen. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember how.
I think, are they related or are they just friends? Like childhood friends. I don't, they go way back in some capacity.
Yeah, they,
I don't quite remember.
The problem is we only see them face to face once.
Yeah.
And Gretchen says something like, oh, you know Lear, haha, I love that guy. And RJ's like, fucking hate that guy.
Yeah. And so RJ is also kind of like, well, I can't be a total dick to this person because he is in cahoots with my boss.
Yeah. So,
who I'm already on the outs with.
Not even on the outs. She's just trying to get Gretchen to be her mentor.
Right. Yeah.
And she's trying to impress her.
Trying to like not fuck up her full-time job while doing her side job.
Yeah. How much money is in wedding officiating now?
Maybe she's doing it for fun. I don't know.
Doesn't sound that fun.
It doesn't sound like she's finding it fun either.
I know. So I did go to a wedding of a friend and they had hired an officiant off of Craigslist. And he showed up high. He smelled like weed.
Did he still perform?
Not well.
Because
it was a friend of mine. Her husband's in the military. And so they had gotten married like, you know, a year before. And like, you know, did like the courthouse wedding so they could move together. Because I think they were moving to like San Diego or something, like pretty far. So they went ahead and like, you know, got the legal thing out of the way. And then they did their wedding, like 2 years, year and a half later, something like that. And it was so funny watching this officiant, like, who either forgot or did not care because he kept saying things like, for the first time ever, so-and-so-and-so-and-so declare their love for one another. And all of us in the, like, crowd are like, they've been married for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, for the first time ever, Mr. and Mrs.
Oh my God.
And I was like, then no.
Yeesh.
So if you get married, Friends likely won't do that to you.
Likely.
Likely. No guarantee.
No guarantees, yeah. So yeah, the first half of this book, it's just like a series of little vignettes of them running into each other. Actually, most of the book is little vignettes of them just running into each other.
Bro, I got overwhelmed.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time, which, full disclosure, I finished this book like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time remembering all the things that have happened, but...
I finished this book today and I'm having trouble remembering everything that happens.
Yeah. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
But throughout, all basically, they run into each other at these weddings and they are low-key assholes to each other every single time.
Yes.
But he keeps, it's like the next day, he's like, oh, I was an asshole. And then, like, we'll send her flowers or, like, her favorite pastries or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like he can't stop himself from being a dick in person. But then he tries to cover for it. I don't know.
Sounds like somebody we know. Each other. I'm really good at being an asshole in person sometimes.
And then 2 hours later being like, wait, was that weird?
My bad. Sorry. We're nice people. We're nice people. Who did I? Oh my God.
We don't have a filter is the problem.
We don't have a filter. I got to steal a line from Mrs. Nash's Ashes recently where I was telling Matthew, I was like, I may not be a nice person, but I try to be a kind person.
That is always how I describe myself to people.
It's like, I'm not
even
for everybody.
Even pre-Mrs. Nash's Ashes. Yeah. So when I read that in the book, I was like,
wow, yeah. Our people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I'm not for everybody. I understand that. But I'm a kind person, I think.
I think so too.
Thank you.
I think you are.
Thank you.
I think I am.
I think you're a kind person.
But maybe this is the...
It'd be two dumbass girls being like, exactly.
You know what? Who cares?
No.
As long as we like each other. Doesn't really matter.
If you hate us, don't tell us. Anyway.
If you hate us, why are you here?
Yeah, well...
Although if you're hate listening to us, I love that. Keep doing that.
Actually, that would be extremely funny.
I love that.
That we have like secret enemies somewhere. Hate listening to us talk about romance novels.
Oh my God. If you're hate listening to us, please tell us. We won't be mad.
Yeah.
I would find it really funny.
Actually, yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at all. Especially if you're also someone that I hate. Actually, if you are someone that I hate, I would really prefer that you tell us if you're hate listening, because that would make me feel really good.
And while you're here hate listening, have you been to our bookshop lately? We get $1.
If you're feeling guilty right now,
yeah,
go buy a book from our bookshop.
What a great idea.
Give us your dollar.
Give us your dollar.
Anyway, so at one point, Lear catches RJ telling her BFF Britta, who was the main character in the book before this one, mm-hmm. my favorite of this series,
yeah,
The Fastest Way to Fall, very good. RJ is telling Britta loudly in a coffee shop over FaceTime that she had a sex dream about Lear, and then RJ is somehow surprised. I mean, it is surprising that Lear is there, but like, maybe don't have those conversations.
No.
In a coffee shop.
Probably not. Go to your car.
Go to your car. Text it. Anyway.
Voice memo from your car.
Exactly. Anyway, so this book is fucking so horny.
This book is extremely horny.
Which kind of kept me going through it, to be honest with you. So they're at a wedding and they're basically together like every weekend at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's like the summertime, right? It's like wedding season.
Wedding season.
So he asks her out shortly after he finds out about the sex dream. She says no, but then she's leaving the wedding and she swerves to miss a deer and her car gets stuck. And who happens to come along? Lear.
Some real deus ex machina going on.
Yeah. Then he gives her a ride home. They just leave the car?
Oh, yeah. We never find out how she gets her car back.
Yeah. I don't remember if we closed that loop. I don't remember it.
Presumably she gets it back.
Yeah. But more importantly, she forgets her phone in his car, which I'm like.
You're a lawyer. No way.
Yeah. Be for real. But when he brings it back to their apartment, to her apartment, they hook up.
Yes.
And so then that's kind of the first third of the book is leading up to that. And then like the second third of the book is them being friends with benefits and RJ trying to pretend that she doesn't like him.
Yeah, this is where it was losing me a little bit. I think it felt very Groundhog Day to me.
Yeah.
Of like, they're at a wedding. They fuck.
Yeah,
they're
that's why I'm having a hard time remembering, like, what happened to, like, summarize this for the people.
Yeah. They get into a habit of hooking up in a supply closet or...
like a single stall bathroom.
And I'm just like, guys, gross.
Yeah, just go to your apartment.
I know.
Just go home together after.
Yeah, they don't really do that for whatever reason.
This book would make a good movie.
It would make a good movie, actually. It would make a good movie.
I'm just picturing like the montage of them in all the supply closets or whatever, right? That would
like
be very funny.
Some jazzy music in the background as they come out of closets and stuff. That actually would be very funny.
This should be a movie.
This should be a movie. Denise, hire us.
Yeah.
We can learn to screenwrite.
I kind of do that.
Yeah. Denise.
Not that far off from what I do for a living. So yeah, they're just fucking.
They are fucking. They are both kind of, they're both in the middle of some stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Lear has moved to North Carolina after he had something real big go down when he was living in California. And we don't really know what it is yet. RJ, which I told Katie this before, and I have to say it on record. This confused me a lot in the beginning is because they both have pretty like masculine names.
Yeah.
And for a lot of it, I was like, who the fuck is RJ? That's really familiar. And it's the raccoon from Over the Hedge. So for all of you Gen Z millennial cuspers who might also remember that movie, it has Avril Lavigne as a possum in it. And I remember it being very funny. I don't know if it holds up, but could be great. There's a raccoon named RJ in it.
Yeah. I have not seen that movie in a long time, and now I want to watch it.
Again, it's got Avril Lavigne as a possum.
Anyway. RJ's still kind of dealing with the fallout from a breakup.
RJ's ex gets engaged to a woman named Feather. And their proposal goes viral because it's like they're getting interviewed about, and he decides to propose to her, and in his proposal like shits on RJ.
Yeah.
Which if I was the person getting proposed to, I'd be real pissed off.
Like, why are you bringing her up right now?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. We've talked about this.
Don't talk about her.
Yeah. Not right now.
Yeah.
Just propose. Just say a nice thing. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's weird. And so obviously RJ sees it and is like, okay. Gross.
And then around the same time, RJ, I think before the engagement, RJ gets mad at Lear because he tried to defend her from a really douchey photographer.
Oh, that guy sucked.
And RJ didn't like how Lear handled it.
Yeah. Lear doesn't like people taking care of her.
Yeah.
Basically.
RJ doesn't like people taking care of her.
See,
you just did it.
Proving my point.
Yeah. RJ's basically like, I could have handled that. Like, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But then she apologizes.
They get closer as they're hanging out at these weddings and hooking up and whatnot, and they have some nice little moments. At one wedding, they slow dance together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cute. And then one of the next weddings, they get really bickery about things.
Yeah.
In a very weird way at times. Lear overhears her comforting a bride, telling her something like, he's not going to notice. It's going to be fine. And it turns out to be something like real low level. This is also where I'm like, why is everyone throwing RJ under the bus?
Yeah, it's some coin her fiance gave her on their first date or something, right?
The meet cute is they used to meet at the vending machine and get cherry Pop-Tarts at the same time at their workplace. And the groom had asked the bride for a quarter, and that's how they like really met. And she was like supposed to bring that quarter and forgot.
Uh-huh.
And
RJ gives her another quarter.
Yeah.
And like, it's fine.
But like on stage, the bride was like, RJ said it would be fine, but
yeah,
this isn't the quarter. And I'm like, dude, tell him later.
Yeah. And Lear didn't know that it was the quarter either, so he's thinking it's something way worse than this too.
Yeah, RJ had like told him something else that was like low level, low stakes.
Yeah.
And now he's mad that she lied to him. And I'm like, Lear, calm down.
Yeah.
They have rough sex in the bathroom though.
Yeah. At Slightly before that, though, at another one of these weddings, a bride gets left at the altar and Lyra is really, really sweet about it. And this was the point that I was like, okay.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that part.
I think I'm coming around on this man.
Yeah, vignettes is a good way to describe this book.
Yeah.
Of like little bits and pieces of weddings.
Hey, we wanted a book with a wedding in it before your wedding. Instead, we get 500 weddings.
It was a lot of weddings. A
lot of weddings.
So we finally learn about Lear's trauma, his backstory. And it's that he was dating a woman named Sarah in California. And I think they were even engaged. And she was pregnant. And then it turns out the baby wasn't his.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy because when I was in line at the post office 2 days ago, I was reading a relationship subreddit about a guy whose wife was cheating on him with somebody at the gym. Did you read that one?
Yes, I read that one too.
Yes, and it wasn't his kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God, crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. As I was reading it, I was getting the two confused. I'm like, oh, did Sarah meet that guy at the gym? No.
No. This comes up because it is just about the kid's first birthday.
Yes.
And so Lear is struggling because he loves this kid, even though it's not his kid.
Yeah, he's kind of mourning like what could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, he doesn't know he was there when the baby was born, but doesn't know his name. Which right. I am like, how'd you pull that off?
Yeah, but because he's like refused to look them up too because it's too painful, which makes sense. But as we said before, we are too nosy for this.
Yep.
So on the first birthday, RJ takes Lear on a date to, like, distract him, basically. And then she invites him to stay the night and is like, maybe we could, like, do this thing. And Lear's like, no.
Yeah.
Because he's worried that RJ's just going to, like, wake up the next morning and change her mind again.
Yeah. RJ has been very hot and cold through this whole thing. Like, they both kind of pretend they hate each other in a way that is not believable at all. Where it's like almost like they're telling me that they hate each other and I'm like, clearly you guys don't though. Almost.
I don't know. Which is why this would be a good movie.
This would be a good movie. So RJ like shuts down because she feels rejected after she was like being vulnerable. Lear was also feeling very vulnerable and that's kind of like why he shut down and said no. Because he was feeling very raw still about Sarah and et cetera, which is understandable, but neither of them are very good at communicating with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, they have another wedding together, and my goodness, I really dislike both of them.
Yeah.
So what happens at the wedding is RJ is up officiating, and she also, this book is dual perspective, which we didn't mention at the beginning, but. So she's up officiating and she mentions that the couple had been really indecisive and had gone back and forth on a lot of things. And she is reading from her book or whatever and starts reading a poem from one of their friends. And the groom like leans forward and is like, we cut that this morning because the bride like looks really upset. And RJ gets, like, after the wedding ceremony, goes back to Lear, and Lear is like, what the fuck was that? And RJ is like, what do you mean? Like, and he was like, we cut that this morning because that friend was in a car accident and is in the ICU.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I emailed you, and you didn't read them. I sent you so many messages. And RJ was like, I didn't read them because I didn't want to read your apologies. And she's like, why didn't you tell me in person? They're both completely wrong.
Yes.
This is an insane conflict.
Yeah, like you still have to work together on other people's most important day of their lives.
This
like,
made
put
me,
your shit aside.
This and made like, me upset.
Just read the emails. You don't have to respond.
Yeah, read the emails. Lear also be like, did you read my emails? We cut that poem.
Yeah.
Confirm. This is somebody's wedding.
Yeah.
I got really upset at this part. And maybe it's because I am so close to my wedding. Nobody ruin my wedding for me, please. But also like, this is not, put your shit aside. This is silly.
Yeah.
You guys, come on, be mature adults.
And this is the same wedding that the media was at, right?
Yeah, so in the background, RJ is also working on this big divorce case with Gretchen.
Yeah, two really high-profile people.
I imagine it being Jeff and Mackenzie. Bezos. Bezos.
Oh, I was like, you got to give last names. I don't know who Jeff and Mackenzie are.
Sorry, Mr. Amazon.
Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Amazon.
Yeah, it does feel very much like that.
Where it's like, yeah, they're trying to like work out all their big fancy assets and like the foundation or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're like trying to put the foundation first. But then they decided they like kind of rekindled their relationship. So then it seemed like maybe the divorce wasn't going to happen. But then there's a photo in like the newspaper of the woman in the couple with another man. And the way I read this is that the venue that the wedding was at was also hosting another event.
I got really confused at this part because at the beginning, RJ says something like, the press got wind of me also being in a divorce attorney. And I was like, it took them that long to figure it out. And also, is that interesting?
Yeah.
It's kind of not.
I don't know. A divorce attorney officiating weddings kind of reads like a one-day-long news cycle.
Yeah, but it's
gets
like
a BuzzFeed treatment.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like a go interview her situation. Don't show up at a wedding she's working at, take some pictures and run away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know like they say after like, oh, the press was trying to get a shot of you at this wedding, but then I was like, why are those people at the wedding? And I think it was like there was another event happening at that place, and that's why.
You might be right. I got very confused on the like mechanics of how this went down.
I don't know if I actually remember reading that or if that is how my brain made it make sense.
Could have.
Anyway, so she's having an affair, and so RJ gets taken off the case because there's too much heat on her, basically.
Yeah, Gretchen is mad, but not mad enough to fire RJ or anything like that. Just like taking you off this big old case.
Yeah.
Which probably isn't great either, but yeah. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, so RJ quits being a wedding officiant, except she has one last wedding that she needs to do. Lyra's also there. They realize the error of their ways.
And they
it's all a very fast-paced,
it is
nonsensical kind of ending.
And
then that's it.
They make up, and then we get an epilogue, and they live together, and he's going to propose soon, and they're buying a house, and yeah.
Yeah.
Where's that TikTok girl that's like, these people would be divorced?
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. This was my least favorite of the Denise Williams universe that I've read, just because there was too much happening.
Yeah, it was really, for me, and again, I didn't know all the characters from, you know, the extended universe of Denise Williams.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of characters that just kind of like drop in and out and are not there for a very long time. Like some of her friends. And like she doesn't live the same city as her friends.
Those are the ones from the other books.
Like Del included?
Yes.
Okay, because I was really confused when she like mentioned him offhand and suddenly he was just like there.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I'm sure this is fun for somebody else, but for me, I don't understand what's going on. But
our whole friend group are all the ones from the other books.
But like, was Gretchen in another book?
I don't think so.
Was Lear's sister in another book?
I have no idea. I'm gonna say no.
Okay. I think especially with like Lear's backstory, I was getting confused because it was like, oh, Lear and Gretchen met this one time, and then at the end of the book when they're at that wedding, I was like, I completely forgot they knew each other.
Yeah.
Because Gretchen says something like, are you in love with Lear, judging by this one photo of them in the newspaper? And RJ's like, what? And Gretchen's like, don't hurt him. He's a good guy. And like up until that point, I had completely forgotten they knew each other.
Yeah, I don't remember. The reason I remember the others is because they were the leads in their respective books.
Right.
But if there were other side characters in the other books, I do not remember them.
Okay.
It's possible. But I don't. You know how I am with names.
Yeah. It was a lot to keep track of.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just, and it did feel a little Groundhog Day in the middle of like, they're at a wedding, they're fucking. They're at a wedding, they're fucking.
I did like their banter.
I thought their banter was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I thought their banter was fun. I kind of just like got frustrated with both of them. I didn't really like either of them very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was. At the end, it kind of leaves you with that feeling of, like, cute, but, like, eh.
Yeah, you know? I think one thing too, and I've said before, I do love a wedding romance, is I just miss more of the like fun stuff in these wedding romances. We only got like very quick glances of them.
Very few shenanigans.
Yes, that's what I wanted more of. We love a shenanigan on this podcast.
Yeah, very few shenanigans in this book.
I'm really impressed they never got caught banging in the closet as much as they did.
I was hoping that would be one of said shenanigans.
You know, that would have been a good shenanigan. Yeah. That would have been a great shenanigan.
It can happen in the movie.
In the movie. Again, Denise, call us.
I will always pick up a Denise Williams book, but it's always just like a kind of back burner solid choice for me.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, I like, you know, like I got the arc of the new Ashley Poston and I read it the day that I got it.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to do that with Denise Williams, but sure. I will eventually pick them all up.
Sure. And like, while this book necessarily wasn't for me, I will definitely like pick up another one and give
it a shot. Would like The Fastest Way to Fall.
Yeah. I know you had recommended that one to me before. Because isn't it kind of a You've Got Mail situation?
Yes. Ish. Oh, yes. Britta, I'm like remembering the plot of the book as I'm talking about it. Britta is a journalist writing like a, she gets like a regular blog or column on fitness and like working out as like a bigger woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets this personal trainer to like, there's like a personal training app. Mm. And so it's like virtual, but then she ends up like flirting with her coach and yeah.
Great.
It's solid.
Okay. Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Maybe less Groundhog Day-y at points.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Great. Just a little, maybe slightly more straightforward. I don't know.
I just remember liking it. It was like a year ago. I don't know. Maybe 2 years ago. I don't know. But yeah, this was my least favorite. I also think you would like the little airport novellas that she did. She did that series of three short stories all set in airports.
Yes. I have downloaded all of the Valentine's Day ones that we talked about.
Yeah.
And I do need to like definitely read them of like, hey, I have like an hour.
Yeah.
Let me read one of these. These yes, sound fun.
That's exactly like how I read them all in like 2 days.
Yeah. And like, airport novellas, that sounds cute and fun. And we have definitely talked about them on the podcast.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, they're super cute. But yeah, I mean, we'll pick another shenanigan-filled wedding book at some point.
At some point. Yes, this can't... weirdly, we haven't done a wedding one before this. We've had weddings crop up occasionally, but not a wedding book.
I don't read as many. I'm not as into wedding romances as you are, or at least I haven't been, primarily because for like the first couple years after I got married, for I think the pod knows that I had a small pandemic wedding. I did not like thinking about or reading about big extravagant weddings because I just was processing some shit. So I've been actively avoiding them for a while.
Do you feel you are in a healthier place with it now?
Ask me after your wedding.
I know. I remember one time you were like, the next wedding I go to is going to be really hard. And I was hoping somebody else would get married before me.
I've been to another wedding since yours. Maybe since two. Yours. Since mine. But I think it's different being this close to it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I did talk to my therapist about it.
Oh, good.
Because she was like, how's that feeling? And I was like, hard to say currently. I'll let you know on the other side of it how it felt.
Cool. Don't hate me.
Yeah. It's not your fault. I think it's more like, I mean, it has been a little hard, like watching you get to do the things that I didn't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't take away me enjoying them for you, but also for me, because it's fun, obviously, for me to like go to your bridal shower and look at your bridal portrait. Like, that's all fun for me.
Yeah.
And so it's like two separate. Totally separate emotions. You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense.
Like, this is so great. I'm so happy for Abigail. This is so fun to be a part of. And then the second thought is like, oh, that's kind of a bummer, you know?
No, I totally understand that because, you know, maybe to a lesser degree, but like I think about Austin and I started dating January 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, oh, I definitely like feel sad sometimes we didn't get to have more of a like that early relationship fun.
Right.
And like, that more of oh, we're dating, like, we're seeing where this goes. Like, we had to kind of decide very quickly where this was going. And so, like, yeah, sometimes I am very sad that I missed out on that, but that doesn't mean it's, you know,
it doesn't take away from anything now.
Yeah, it doesn't take away from anything now. And, like, or, yeah, like, yeah, if I hear about, like, you talking about, like, when you and Ryan, like, first got together and things, mm-hmm. like, sometimes it is just like, ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah, it's just like, no, it doesn't take away, like, I'm glad you got to have that, even if I didn't get to have it.
Right. It's just still like, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And as I've, you know, your wedding's my favorite wedding I've been to, so.
Thank you. I feel differently about it. Well, I loved it, obviously. It was just, you know, not.
Well, it's just not what you planned.
Exactly.
And that was true for a lot of people. And exactly. For a lot of things.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I, like, remind myself of, like, I hate, like, the, like, other people have it worse kind of mindset of when I feel bad because, like, yeah, some other people might have it worse, but that doesn't mean I'm not fucking sad or whatever. But it does, it is kind of reassuring, I guess, to be like, well, we all lost a lot that year. Like, we all missed out on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one who missed out on this specific thing either.
Right.
And some people missed out on even more. So,
yeah,
like, I'm not alone in that feeling, and kind of everyone has their own version of that.
Yeah, that is a good way. I mean, just like I just said, like, my version of that is, like, missing out on early relationship. A lot of people's version of that is a wedding, is birthdays, or even, you know, again, I don't like to do it either of, like, people. Of course there are people that have it worse.
Yeah.
Like, we know that, but ultimately we came out of it, luckily, with loved ones and et cetera. But, like, yeah, we all...
It absolutely could have been worse.
It absolutely could have been worse. But, yeah, you're right. We all have that version of... We all lost something big at that time period. It lasted too long for all of us to, like, not have had something.
Everyone had something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like, think about, like, my friends who had... My friend Stephanie from high school, she had a baby in 2020. And, like, that... obviously was a whole thing for, I mean, you remember her talking about it at my bachelorette party. Like, that was, like, a really difficult experience for her. And yeah, just a lot of, like, a lot of heavy stuff. And so I'm like, yeah, we've all got our own version of that. You're not special, Katie.
Yeah. And yeah, it's okay to feel sad about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like, it's okay to feel lost. It's okay to feel sad. But it is also always helpful to know, like, oh, we all have this too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting because I am kind of, like, preparing myself for the day of like, you know, are there going to be certain things that are, like, upsetting to me?
Mm.
I'm guessing probably not, because I think I'm going to be so just like mind over matter. Like, I'm going to have enough to worry about that day without thinking about that. Like, maybe the day after there will be, like, a come down where it's like, but I don't think there will be anything, like, in the moment upsetting. But I don't, it will just be really interesting for me to see what things kind of pop up.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And if anything, I just hope it's so much fun that we all forget about it.
I also think that, like, it also might be a total non-issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really don't think – I think I'll be too busy doing other stuff than to feel fucking sorry for myself, hopefully.
I hope so. Well, we have plenty of the VIP wine for when you need it. So on that note
– that went a different direction than I was intending it. What are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? So I got 3 Book of the Months for March because I didn't get any in February. And I was going to, because I was like, oh, shit, do I need to use my birthday credit, like, right now? But also, turns out, I think I've, like, just skipped multiple months or forgotten, and I have, like, 7 credits anyway. So
nice.
I have no idea if my birthday credit stuck or not, because at this point, I have too many.
Right.
So, whatever.
I think they do stick. I don't remember.
I think it would be silly if they didn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you skip or whatever. So, I got Second Chance Year, which you said you loved. I got of the Book of the Year.
You got the same one I got, the Lisa Jewell, right?
Yes.
It's right underneath you.
I got
None of This Is True.
None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell, which is about a true crime podcast, right? Yeah.
It's the only of the only one of the Book of the Years that I hadn't read, so it was the only one I could get.
Yes. And then I got Anita DeMonte Laughs Last for the March book of the month, which is about two women in the art world, which I'm excited to have because, yeah, did we talk about this last time? I remember talking about art. No, we talked about it in the context of Idea of You. Oh, we were talking about
the Idea of You, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it'll be fun to hopefully read a book.
Yeah.
Of those three, I got to pick one to pick up, but those are the three I got, so.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I got, for my March book of the month, well, I got the Lisa Jewell, the book of the year, but then I got Anniebot, the one about the, like, guy dating the AI.
Yes.
And it's really short. I'm looking at it right now. I could
move
through it pretty quickly. So I might pick that up here pretty soon. I did shout out to Stephen Graham Jones. I finished the Angel of Indian Lake trilogy, the final book in that series, I think, came out yesterday as we're – oh, yeah, it came out yesterday as this is being released tomorrow as we are recording it. It's fucking excellent. That series is so good. It's so creepy. Don't read it before bed. I gave myself weird dreams.
Morning book.
Well, it's not like scary, but it's like they're like slasher books. And so it's not the type of scary that I feel scared while I'm reading it, but it's the type of scary that gave me nightmares.
Ooh, yeah.
It's very good. Very gory. Look up content warnings, but holy shit, it's so good.
That's interesting because I don't really think of you as somebody who reads books with gore in them.
I'm not, but I am just a huge fan of him as an author. I read a book of his, The Only Good Indians, back when I was working for the Texas Book Festival because we had him at the festival that year. And the book was on the shelf in the office.
Yep.
And I was like, cool, that sounds interesting. And I picked that up and now I'm just a massive fan of his.
Nice.
He's a really beautiful writer and he writes about really fucked up stuff. I'm also reading Well, This Is Exhausting by Sophia, I'm assuming you say her last name, Benoit, maybe? She is like a comedian, a journalist. I don't know if I would call her a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've followed her on Twitter for like a bajillion years. And she had a book of essays come out a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. I know who she is. Yeah.
Yeah. She writes for like maybe GQ and Bustle, The Guardian, The Cut. I've read her a bunch of places.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a book of essays come out a few years ago. And I'm working my way through a bunch of old shit in my NetGalley that I forgot about. And so sorry to Sophia.
Finally getting to it.
I'm like 3 years late getting to your book. But yeah,
well,
but I'm really enjoying it. It's a very good, thoughtful book of essays, memoir style.
Nice.
So I'm going to pick up Summer Romance by Annabelle Monaghan. But those are my non-romance reads currently.
Well, boy, we have something exciting coming next.
Yes. Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez is our next book. It will be freshly released when that episode comes out. And y'all will hear in that episode that we have pre-recorded it. So you're getting very far in the past to us so that we can take a couple weeks to get this girl married.
Yes. Crazy.
So the next time we talk to you, well, Abby... Next time we talk to you, Abigail will be married, but we won't know it.
Katie will still be married. So.
That's true. Hopefully.
Probably.
Probably.
It'll be a crazy month.
All signs point to yes.
All signs point to yes.
All right. Well, happy wedding to Abigail. Happy Abigail's wedding to all of you.
Happy Abigail's wedding to me.
And y'all will see. We'll post on the 50% Instagram.
But of course.
Obviously. Okay, bye.
Bye.